Welcome to Radio Zeke. It's just gone 11 o'clock here in Boston. My name is Zeke Duckworthy. Thank you, James, for that spin right there. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. Today I've got a fine guest. I try and have guests in here from time to time. And gracing us with his presence today is... Now, let's see, this might take me a second here. CD1, CD2. All right, my guest is... Let's hear something from you.
Hey, what's up, everybody?
There you go. Okay, bring your levels up. This is Grant Bloom, who I will describe as... let's have a guitar sound there. There. All right, a little tuning there. Okay, Grant is a recent... relatively recent arrival to the Boston area.
Yeah.
Out of Fort Worth, Texas. We're going to talk a little bit about that. I would call you someone who represents advanced Texas music as opposed to, classic Texas music, because Texas has a pretty eclectic... you're good, as is.
Yeah. Okay.
Tell me a little bit about, growing up. Did you grow up in Fort Worth?
I grew up in between Dallas and Fort Worth, a little bit closer to Fort Worth, and Dallas Fort Worth, they call it the DFW area,
Dallas Metroplex, right.
And there's so in between Dallas, Dallas and Fort Worth are about maybe 15 miles apart from, maybe 15, 20 miles apart from each other, and all in between them, Fort Worth on the west, Dallas on the east, right in the middle, there's kind of a vast
wasteland.
Suburbia, right, yeah, vast suburban wasteland. But so that's where I grew up. It was a little, I was born in a town called Bedford, Texas. There might be a Bedford, it's probably Bedford, Massachusetts.
Yeah, there is this right out here. I used to work out there many moons ago.
I just kind of grew up there. It's just kind of just a suburban upbringing, I wouldn't say a small town. We had a lot of people living there, but we'd ride our bikes in the streets and play tag football, stuff like that.
All right, my guest is Grant Bloom. Grant is, by way of being partner, I would guess, is the current way the kiddies are describing boyfriend, girlfriend. Right? Not married, but like serious item. And with Caitlin Holly, who is in here as my first musical guest, who's, you guys play together from time to time, do you not?
Yeah, whenever we get a chance to, we like to play together, we write together. And
yeah, she's got a real fine voice. She's, I had a couple of people call in after and say, I can see why I can see why she wanted to spin Amy Winehouse, because she's got that really strong voice.
Yeah, and she got me into Amy Winehouse recently too. Last couple months I've been listening to Back to Black all the time.
What a great song. Yeah exactly. Yeah.
And the whole album, it's just, it really is just one of those albums that is just good from the beginning to the end.
Yeah, really, really. Left too soon, really a tragic story there. Well, I'm going to do a couple things before we have you play some of your own music, and while I'm playing this first song, which is one of your requests, and I'm hoping that we've got the correct version here, we'll talk about, why you picked this one, and then I'll quickly go in the back and shut the damn air conditioner off, because it's going to, I don't like all this ambient hissing.
Like all that.
Just go for a little dead air right here, and you can hear it. Yeah, we're going to get rid of that. Okay, my name
is... It's a cold day anyways.
It is a cold day. It's not necessary. Okay, I'm going to play a 1 minute PSA here. Okay, schools, not prisons. This is a good one.
The federal government alone spends $4.5 billion a year locking up people for drug offenses. It costs almost $28,000 a year just to incarcerate one prisoner. Compare that to the average annual tuition at a four-year public college, which is $5,491, and you realize that the drug war is blurring our nation's priorities. Taxpayers' money would be much better spent educating people instead of punishing them. But thanks to ever-increasing mandatory minimum drug sentences, an entire class of young people are being filtered into new supermax prisons, while the resulting budget crunch forces the rest of us to go to old, dilapidated schools. The more money we dump into prisons, the less we have to invest in college campuses. Visit www.schoolsnotprisons.com to find out how you can get involved in the war against the war on drugs.
All right, that's our mandatory PSA. I noted that James, my predecessor, played a sort of honor of April 20, 420 PSA earlier. You know, we'll talk a little bit about, you know, Herb and the influence on the world of music. Okay, so your first request, and this is Grant Bloom, my guest now in Boston, originally out of Fort Worth, Texas. And the way I generally try and do these on-airs with local guests is I'll say, you know, give me a couple of songs that you like, and I'll spin them, and we can talk about what you like about it. Here's the first one, of course, you guys might recognize. Let's see here. There we go.
Day after day, alone on a hill, the man with the foolish grin is keeping perfectly still. But nobody wants to know him, they can see that he's just a fool. And he never gives an answer, but the fool on the hill sees the sun going down, and the eyes in his head see the world spinning round. Well, on the way, head in a cloud, the man of a thousand voices talking perfectly loud. But nobody ever hears him or the sound he appears to make. And he never seems to notice, but the fool on the hill sees the sun going down, and the eyes in his head see the world spinning shows his feelings, but the fool on the hill sees the sun going down, and the eyes in his head see the world spinning round. Oh, see the world spinning round.
All right, that's that is the Beatles, of course, doing Fool on the Hill. My guest, Grant Bloom, from Fort Worth, Texas, here on WMFO, Tufts University Freeform Radio, 91.5 Medford. Now, what do you like about, I mean, what's not to like about the Beatles?
Well, you know, it's actually funny. Just last night, me and Caitlin were hanging out with our friend Robert, and we were listening to Revolver on vinyl, and I just was having a little bit of a, just a little, I don't know, like on my own personal nostalgia for the Beatles, but just, you know, listening to that record, and you just realize how, just what an amazing band they were. I chose that song Fool on the Hill because that was one of the first, that was one of the songs that kind of cemented my love for the Beatles. I was, and it was actually, I was probably maybe 15 or 16 years old, and the and this song was the opening track of that movie Dinner for Schmucks. Did you ever see that movie?
No, I haven't, but now I have to.
It has Steve Carell, and I won't waste time explaining the premise of the movie. It's a funny movie. But this song opened it up, and this was before I was very familiar with the Beatles, so I heard it, and I'd listened to some of the Beatles, and I was like, you know, that sounds like it could be Paul McCartney singing or the Beatles song. Right. I was like, but there's no way they made a song that sounds like that. That song is totally, that song is so unique, you know, and I thought I was, you know, just blown away by the songwriting. And then when I later found out that it was the Beatles, I was like, wow. And that was, from there on, it was kind of like I was, I had an obsession.
Yeah. Well, you know, they had all that. From that era, they had, you know, Blue Jay Way and Strawberry Fields, really. And, what was the first Beatles song you taught yourself to play? Would it be Blackbird?
You know, I think it was actually No Reply.
Great song. Yeah,
I think that was one of the first ones, because when I saw that movie and I found the Beatles, I was actually visiting my cousins in Arizona.
Yeah.
And when I came home, one of the first things I did is I recorded, and this is probably when I was 16 years old, I recorded a little cover on my MacBook of the of No Reply.
Yeah.
And
can you remember the opening chords to that right now? Ambush.
Oh, I'm trying to. This happened once before when I came to your door. No reply, right?
Yeah, you got it. There you go. Okay, see, that's what I like. It's Ambush. Now, okay.
Try to keep it under 5 seconds.
That's right. Now, I believe the station is a fully paid up member of ASCAP, BMI, CSAC, all the PF, you know.
Oh, good.
No, this is legit. You know, this is legit radio. All right, you're going to do a song of yours called Be Mine.
Yeah.
All right.
This sounds not much like the Beatles, but it goes like this. Be found like a needle in the hay. You know, I tend to stick around, and when you're feeling lost inside, you know, I'm gonna hold you tight through the night. But we got something that's so real. And I try. And when you feel that fear, I'll tell you what you need to hear. When you need, life ain't nothing but time. Creeping up and passing us by, but I wouldn't be afraid of dying, baby, if you'd only be mine. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, heart out of these chains. But we got something that's so real. We don't need all them cliches. And when you feel that fear, I'll tell you what you need to hear. When you need, when you know. Passing us by, but I wouldn't be afraid of dying.
Sweet stylings of my in-studio guest, live Grant Bloom, from Fort Worth, Texas, now here in the Boston area. That's one of yours, Be Mine. When did you write that?
When?
Yeah.
You know, I started writing that probably around this time last year, maybe a little earlier.
Yeah.
So it was a little over a year ago I started writing it, and I finished it, and it's gonna be the second song on my album I've been recording at just at my house currently.
Yeah. Do you have? Who, let's see. I was talking to one of the guys around town. I'm trying to remember his name. A guy from Mr. Music, you know, bass player.
Jameson.
Yeah. Yeah. He's on that. Is he gonna be on that with you?
No. This one. The way this album has turned out so far, I actually started recording it a while before I met them. So yeah. I've played everything on it. It's gonna kind of be a, that's just kind of been
total
kind of
DIY.
That's kind of been part of the concept of the album. You know, I wanted to kind of just see what I could do with what I had. You know, and try to take the situation that I have, and the recording stuff that I have, and make it a part of the album, and not make it a limitation, but make it like a vital part of what makes the album what it is.
Yeah, I was checking out. I mean, I've seen you around town quite a bit, and you know, every time I see you play, I say to myself, "Yeah, man, I hate this guy. He's too good." And it's true because you play. I'd put you in the real serious guitar player category. I mean, you think 13th chords and stuff, and, you know, and one of the things, if you're sitting in the studio watching Grant play, you'll notice that he's playing chords for every single note he sings, and he's singing 64th notes. And, you know, it's, I don't know how people can do that. And you're playing an old Seagull guitar and making it sound, you know, really sweet. How long have you had that particular thing there?
You know, I bought this guitar when I was 16. This is my first guitar ever. I had a guitar that was a... in the family before, but I bought this one when I was 16. I had my first job working at a fried chicken restaurant.
Working
in Texas.
On the chain gang.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you're part of what you're trying to do up here is you know, make a living in the music game, which is revolves around gigging. You know, there's not a whole lot of opportunity to make big money selling CDs anymore because nobody listens to CDs.
Yeah.
You can make a little money if you you know, get a lot of spins on SoundCloud or, you know, the various social media type thingies. But you got to get in the millions before people start sending you any visible
money. Get a thousandth of a cent for each spin on Spotify. Yeah,
funny how,
like
funny how the Spotify execs, and, you know, I hope you're listening to me, you Spotify execs, who are clearing, you know, $350 a year large, and, you know, starving you're choking the golden goose here because the artists are really not really enjoying the spoils, shall we say.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no, it's a cold game. You know, it was a cold game before when vinyl was out, and, you know, the traditional A&R people and the promotion folks, you know, it's always been kind of a mob business.
Yeah.
Let's cut to the chase. Music and movies and anything where there's rear ends in seats, parking lots, it does tend to be a mob kind of business, and that means that the, you know, we won't go too far in that direction, but you can draw your own inferences here. So what do you have in the way of upcoming gigs? Anything coming up?
I got something on May 22nd at the Midway Cafe. I'm here. Doing a gig there with Phil Holub.
Oh yeah, I saw him last night over at the Burn. Yeah,
yeah, and he's playing again tonight too. I think at O'Brien's.
Yeah,
he's gigging all over.
O'Brien's or Sally O'Brien's?
O'Brien's in Austin.
Yeah, that's an interesting place too.
Yeah,
we're talking dive bars to all you people. And I'll just take a minute to shout out to Chester, England, Taiwan, people in South Africa, people in Kiel, Germany, people in Amsterdam, people in California, people in Texas. Hello, all you folkies out there. And I know we do have some listeners all over the country, many of whom are here in Boston. If you're listening to us on 91.5 FM, that means you're probably somewhere around the Tufts University campus, you know, Watertown, Somerville, Cambridge, Medford. If you're listening to us on the internet, you could be pretty much any place, and I greet you and welcome your your input. If you want to contact me, Zeke Duckworthy, your host afterwards, just go to duckworthy.com. All of these shows, the air checks, meaning the recorded version of the show with my live guest, will be up there. And let's see, that sort of covers that little part of it. Okay, you suggested that we play a Sufjan Stevens song here, mm-hmm. and I think I will play that, and then we can talk about that.
Yeah, hope everybody's in for a little experience.
Thank you.
nice ending to that Sufjan Stevens, Philly, Illinois, a request punched up here by my guest, Grant Bloom, a Fort Worth, Texas denizen, but now, I would say permanently relocated up here, would you say?
For a little while.
For a while. Well, you speak like a musician. So we've got...
We don't like to make too firm of geographical commitments.
That's right. That's right. Because, you know, the bill collector could be at the door. And, yeah, he was here. I haven't seen him for a few days. I don't know. He might be back, you know. You have some fans who are tuning in. Where are they down?
I think I've got a... I know I got some family in Texas listening, family and friends. Want to say hi to my any of my brothers that are listening.
Hey there, brothers.
My mom, I think maybe my grandma is listening, hopefully. My friend Brent said he was going to tune in, so hey, Brent. Miss all you guys. And then I got another friend in Nashville who's listening too, Liz. Hi, if you're still listening. That's it. I mean, I think hopefully there's maybe a few more, but...
I think there's probably a lot more than that.
I don't care about them as much now. I'm just kidding.
Well, those people can pick you up, you know, in the air check, which they can get off duckworthy.com later on. That Philly, Illinois is... I'm going to say that's kind of a complicated musical song. There's a lot of layers there.
You know, Sufjan Stevens on that album, I think he played about 25 instruments because he played a lot of this. He played a lot of the horns and reeds and woodwind and all the guitars, the bass. I think he did just about everything except for the strings and the drums and some of the vocals. And
man, that's disgusting. he's sick.
Yeah, his music. When I first got into his stuff, man, it was just another one of those instances where you just think, wow, I didn't even realize people made music like this, you know.
And did he produce that himself?
Yeah, he produced it. I think he mixed it too. I think he maybe did some of the mixing, and he produces it all. He records it all in his own studio too. He's very DIY kind of guy.
Well, that's one of the things that, you know, the downside of the modern internet is that you don't have, unless you're at, you know, the Amy Winehouse level or you know, the dreaded Taylor Swift level, you don't have the big machine behind you pushing you across the line. The good old days weren't all that good. We all know that. But in the new world, you have to do it yourself. You have to be, you know, your own best advocate. If, you know, you catch fire, then somebody's going to come in and try and take 15%, 20%, steal you blind. You know, which is okay if that's, you know, how you want to roll. I see you more as like a DIY ethos sort of person right now.
Yeah.
Why don't you play one of your songs? What's this one called?
Yeah, this is called Closer. It's going to be another one that's tracked for my album that I'm working on, finishing up right now. I'll hopefully have out this year. No official release date, but you know, we musicians, we keep things casual like that. When you do it yourself, you know, you got no deadlines. Here we go.
Ooh, my darling, don't you know you mean the world to me? And it's clear to see that you're all that I need. Baby girl, you lift my heart up into ecstasy. For a moment I believe in everything. I wanna see it through. Some spirit in me making my soul move, and it's bringing me closer to you. You're the sweetest thing, nothing I could ever trade for you. And without you, I don't know what I would do. Baby, baby girl, you lift my heart up into ecstasy. For a moment, I believe in everything. Want to see it through. Some spirit in me making my soul move. To you. my soul move is bringing me closer to you. Bringing me closer to you. And it's bringing me closer to you.
Man, really sweet kind of stuff. It's very jazzy. You know, the first reaction most people have hearing an artist is from Texas is that it's going to be, you know, country or alt country. And yet Texas does have a real big jazz, and not just jazz. I'm going to call it progressive jazz. I mean, tremendous hip-hop scene, tremendous soul scene. But your influences are pretty eclectic. You have been teaching yourself. You are self-taught, aren't you?
Well, I took a, you know, in high school I had a teacher that I worked with for maybe about 4 or 5 years on the bass guitar.
Uh-huh.
And he kind of showed me, he showed me the modes on the bass guitar. And once I learned the modes, it kind of, that was very, and the modes are just kind of different scales on the guitar for, you know, anybody that doesn't, you know, anybody that doesn't go to Berkeley out here or something.
Right. You're a music theory type.
Yeah. So, right. You know, and it kind of opened up the doors for understanding music and then learning other songs, you know, learning a lot of songs by people like the Beatles and Sufjan Stevens and seeing how they made, how their chords work together and the melodies and the lyrics. You know, just kind of, it's just something that was always very stimulating to me and something that I just loved.
The orchestration, that's probably not the correct term, but when I've seen you play with Caitlin and your vocal orchestration, your harmonies are also the melodies are complex and the interplay and the harmonies are complex, and yet they don't really take away, they're effortless but complex. And what you're doing here, same thing, it sounds real natural, and you know, but there's a whole lot going on. Go ahead, play me a modal scale. The modal scale for what you just played, Closer, the song that you just...
It's probably something like... You know, just... that's just an E-flat. You know, it's just... Yeah. That's just a regular kind of scale.
For all us struggling musicians out here, that's just an E-flat. Yeah, you know.
Yeah, it's not the friendliest guitar key, I guess. It's good for horn players, though. Horn players love it.
I guess, you know, the people's key is, you know, is a G, you know, your basic cowboy cards. But you can make those dance, too. We've got Grant Bloom, guest in studio today, playing a couple of his songs and talking about some of his musical influences. You wrote that song, Closer. That one's pretty new, too, isn't it?
Yeah, I'd say it's, you know, that one was a long time in the making. I wrote one section of the lyrics for the verse, and then I had a chord progression for the chorus. But then it was probably one of those songs that was about maybe 7-8 months later that it finally came together. And you know, and that was probably around the same time that I was writing a song, Be Mine. And
yeah.
A lot of the songs for this album were kind of written around this time last year is when they were kind of getting finished up and, you know, fully fleshed out.
Well, that's
out.
About the time that you moved up here, because I think the first time I saw you was over at the Lizard that night.
Yeah, that was right about the time that I was found out I was going to be moving out here. I didn't move till about September.
Yeah.
So I kind of started writing these songs maybe about 5-6 months before before moving to Massachusetts.
Yeah, it's interesting because you know, one of the good things about the Boston area is musically it definitely punches way above its weight. There's a lot of you know, serious talent in this town.
Absolutely, yeah.
Not just people that pass through, but the people who are living here, who are from here, people who have, you know, migrated here temporarily or permanently, as you would fall into that category. And there's a lot of opportunity to play out as you know, an open mic opportunity. Just get your stuff out there. I mean, you can make a little money at it. You can make, you know, you can gig out. And by a little money, I think, if an artist, you know, at the I'm not going to say entry level in a disparaging sense, because, you know, musically you're not at the entry level. You're really right there. But, you know, career wise, where you're trying to carve out a name for yourself, you play around here at, you know, some of the venues. If you get paid $200 a night, that's a pretty good fee. If you get paid $50 a night, that's probably, you know, 50 to 100, something like that. You know, they'll pass the hat.
Yeah.
So you go into some of the places around here, like the Lizard Lounge, which has a really excellent open mic, and they have a contest, or they have had for the last 10 years. I'm told that may be sort of drifting out, but that's the risk all open mics face, that they're always at risk of you know, going out of business. They've got a contest, and the winner of the contest, there's 22 people at play in the course of a night, and there's a judge, and the judge picks three of them, and then the three play off, and then the winner gets to keep the door, which might be $100.
Yeah,
it's kind of honorary. I went in there. Now, I'm not there to win. I'm there to watch. You know, he says it's a good way of sort of avoiding the issue that I'm not going to win, but.
And then you can still go to bed before 3 a.m. too.
Well, that's true. In order to win, you must stay until the end.
You're going to be there till about 1:30 a.m.
Yeah, but again, you know, musicians do tend to hang out in bars on Monday night, drinking and, you know, socializing and stuff. But the first time I saw you, walked in, nobody knew who you were, and there's a moment. When usually it happens about like the second note that an artist plays or sings, where you know, the room just shuts up, and you know, nobody knows who you are. You know, who's this kid? And, you know, like, he's coming into the Lizard. Who the hell is this guy? And you shut the room right up. You know, why don't you play another song?
Yeah. So I'm gonna play a little song called. It's a little different. This one's a little more slow paced. It's called Elaborate Disguise.
All right, Grant Bloom, Elaborate Disguise, his own composition.
I can feel it, some type of magic in my state of mind. Close your eyes and let it all just pass you by. Could this be heaven, the place that we've arrived? You and I believed that we were on the rise. Still, even when it flies, I've surmised it's some elaborate disguise. And in this moment, I think I've realized. Would turn out right.
That's a great song right there. It's Elaborate Disguise, which I put into the Spinatron, and the autocorrect made it Elaborate Design, which is not a bad title for a song. But Elaborate Disguise, when did you write that one?
Yeah, that one was came a little after the last two I played. That's a little.
These are all recent. These are all songs that you've written.
Yeah, these are all probably
calendar.
These are probably in the last, you know, yeah, about the last year.
Yeah.
Maybe 12, 13 months.
Yeah, that's.
And that one, you know, is actually one day when I, you know, back in Texas, sometimes I would, if I had a gig that night, I would come back and I would go running really, really late at night. And that was one of those ones where I got home and from doing that, and it was, it just was in my head. I had the little part of that song, and I just wrote it about time, and it's almost kind of about how time is so relative and tricky.
Well, this is and so useful when it comes to writing lyrics.
Yeah,
know, because as a musician, you're always looking at the universe.
Mm.
And trying to reduce the patterns to, or elaborate on the patterns, as in this case, elaborate disguise. Music is great, and the guitar, just for a second, we'll talk about the concept that you can get all of these incredibly different sounds out of six strings.
Yeah.
And to me, this I just never get bored, you know, looking at guitars or hearing people play them. Everybody plays a guitar differently. Every guitar is different. They're, you know, especially, you know, wood guitars. Although some gal played a one of those Yamaha silent guitars. Where was she? At some venue I was at the last couple of days. And those are pretty cool too, because they, you know, the size of a baseball bat, they all fold up and they've got electronics and they sound real nice.
Yeah.
But, you know, a wooden guitar, you know, it bends a little bit. You know, the strings bend.
They kind of breathe. They kind of breathe in and breathe out.
They sound different when it's
on.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. When it's cold out, or when it's dry out, or when it's moist out. Yeah, and you get, and as a musician, you kind of go with that. And sometimes you pick up the guitar and it won't stay in tune, and you're thinking, man, this thing doesn't like me today.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. They have personality. They have a kind of energy in themselves. You know, they used to be this living thing. You know, my friend the other day, he said something funny, because he's got a newer Gibson 335.
Yeah, that's a sweet guitar. Right?
Yeah. But he's saying, he's like, I don't think the tree quite knows it's dead yet, because it keeps
moving.
It's
around.
Not quite settled yet. Yeah.
Yeah. I have some friends who are luthiers at a place down in Stanton, Virginia, an oddly named place called Fretwell Bass. Which of course makes no sense. Although the guy who owns it's named Fretwell, legit. But you know, they only sell stand-up basses, so you know these are fretless basses. And he's pretty well known. And he's got a luthier comes in there. And I was down there about 3 years ago, and I bought a guitar from somebody, and it needed to be set up. And I went in, and the guy said, "Yeah, I'll do it, but you know, like it's not really necessary," and blah blah. And I said, "You know, you're working on something." He had a new Gibson. I don't know. J45 or something, you know, pretty expensive new guitar, and literally new, just come out of the box. And the guy who bought it brought it back, and the luthier was saying, you know, these Gibson guys, he says, they make good guitars, but every single one of them comes out of the factory and they're all screwed up. None of them hold tune. You know, their necks, you know, the necks are kind of straight, but you know, you got to, you know. And so he was like trashing the people at the factory. And what I took away from that is that it's not really a guitar until it's a few years old.
Oh yeah, no. I think it's true. And some of my favorite guitars I've ever played were ones that, you know, were probably over 20, 30 years old. They get that sound with the age that I don't know. It's, you know, they get that character, and they absolutely get better with age.
Yeah, the nice shiny ones, you know. And then after a while, especially if you've been playing out with them, you know, they get a couple dings in them, and you know, the case gets all bashed up.
Mm.
One of my favorite scenes, there's a interview with Guy Clark, and obviously Texas, you know, legend, who, in addition to being, you know, legendary songwriter and singer and player, was a luthier himself. And you know, he there's this video of him, movie reduced to video, of him working on a guitar, and he says, didn't I work on this one about 20 years ago? And he's filing a bone saddle on it, and it, you know, makes this horrible sound because he's filing bone. And when he's done, he picks the guitar up, and it's, you know, now it's been touched by Guy Clark, and it's, you know, yeah, okay. What electric do you play? I've seen you play with an electric guitar.
Yeah, I play a Telecaster.
Uh-huh.
And the Telecaster is I've had it maybe about 4 years, almost maybe going on 5 years now. And I love that guitar. It's I've actually played back home. I would play the Telecaster more often because I had a car. I could take my amp around. But
right.
I'm a train commuter here, so the acoustic has become a little more convenient in some instances.
Right. You know, Telecaster. We could get into the whole Gibson versus Fender world. and the Telecaster legend, like Danny Gatton and those guys. You're nodding your head. There's some good Telecaster players around here. What kind of amp do you play through?
I have a Vox Night Train, and I only bought that. Bought it on a whim.
Yeah.
On the New Year's Eve, 2015, going on 2016. So right. I've had the amp a little over a year.
No, it's not a new amp. You didn't buy a new amp. Or did you buy it?
I think it was new when I bought it. New. Yeah. It was a. I mean, it's a new. It's and you know, I really knew a lot less about amps than I've learned a lot about them in the last year and a half. And but the amp has held up pretty well. I like it. It has a nice sound for the solo stuff I would do.
Let's play a quick track here that you have requested. This one you guys might recognize.
Oh, yeah.
Folks say that you found someone new to do the things I used to do for you. Just call my name, I'm not ashamed. I'll come running back to you. Can't sleep at night, I can't eat a bite. When you were mine, I didn't treat you right. Just call my name, I know I'm not ashamed. I'll come running back to you. Just like a king, I've lost everything. I sit all alone on my own. I've got my pride, but deep down inside, I'm yours and yours alone. Whoa. I try to forget, have no regrets. This love of ours could always start anew. Just call my name, whoa, I know I'm not ashamed. I'll come running back to you. Just like a king, I've lost everything. I sit all alone on my throne. I've got my pride, but deep down inside, I'm yours and yours alone. Whoa, I try to forget, have no regrets. This love of ours could always start anew. Just call my name, I know I'm not ashamed. I'll come running back to you.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, love that song.
Yeah, and you sing a little bit in the stylings of Sam Cooke.
Yeah, and, I remember very distinctly the first time I heard that song. I was, when Caitlin and I first started dating, and she was living in Denton, Texas, which is where the University of North Texas is, where she was going at the time, and we were just hanging out, and her roommate, Alex, she played some Sam Cooke, and I'd never listened to a whole lot of soul music at that point, and I heard that song, and it was just like, oh my God, who is that?
Yeah,
and after that, I was on a huge, I got into Sam Cooke and Otis Redding and stuff, and Marvin Gaye and all those guys, and I was just, I was hooked. It totally changed my songwriting and singing.
Well, Sam Cooke and Otis and those guys, they voice like honey. I mean, not Al Green honey either. Who's another monster?
Barry White.
These guys, power. Way off the charts. My guest is Grant Bloom, a singer, songwriter, guitar player. Spent his early life down in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, is up here now, making his way in the musical industry, so to speak. Now, let's see. I'm going to play another one of yours. What do you got?
Yeah, this is a song called 2B. It's another one for the album. One I wrote a little. It's about twice as old as the rest of the songs I played.
Okay.
It's called 2B. Yeah. Oh, I'm feeling something strange today. Like my mind, it just can't get away. If I knew what I was supposed to say, don't know if I'd say it anyway. But it's hard to be who you're supposed to be. Darling, can't you say? Am I all that I'm supposed to be? I feel like everything's a mystery. If I knew where I was supposed to go, I would have been there oh so long ago. But it's hard to be much of anything. Darling, can't you say?
To Be, an original composition by Grant Bloom, who's been my studio guest today. Where can people hear your stuff online?
Well, I've got my website, grantbloommusic.com. Also, if you look up Grant Bloom Music on Facebook, it's a good resource to hear about some shows and hear what's going on. I've got stuff on SoundCloud as well and Bandcamp too. Grantbloom.bandcamp.com.
Yeah.
Yeah. So come check it out. There's lots of places to hear my stuff, and I'll be out here in, Austin, Cambridge, Somerville, all over, wherever they'll let me in. JP?
Yeah. Well, before you spin out of here, we're going to play one more song, and Gabriella the Hun has just stepped in. Are you going to be at the Hooray for the Riff Raff show, or were you there last night? Yeah, there you go. Okay. Yeah, you're a big fan. She'll be taking over in a minute. I'm going to play one song, another one of your requests. We'll talk about it right now. This is the Thelonious Monk song.
Yeah.
What? Tell me about it.
Well, Thelonious Monk, is another kind of turning point in music and hearing his, that's kind of when I first was getting into jazz and hearing his music and the way that he makes chords work together, and he has such a totally unique style of playing and writing and just as personality and mindset in general. And it's just one of those things that had a huge impact as soon as I heard it.
My guest has been Grant Bloom. Thank you so much for coming in.
Yeah, thank you, Zeke.
Yeah, my pleasure. Here's Thelonious Monk, Ruby My Dear.